The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heavens, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand our errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father in heaven, I thank you and praise you, dear Lord God, just for another time and chance to come before your throne and to lift up your holy name, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for this beautiful day that you have made, a day, Lord God, that you have allowed us to see. Thank you for showing forth your grace and your mercy. Every morning, Lord God, we wake up, Lord, we can wake up with joy, knowing that we have the victory on today. We thank you, Lord God, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, Lord God, that we might have a right to the tree of life on today. And Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you will look upon your people everywhere. Remember those, Lord God, who are in distress. Remember those, Heavenly Father, Lord God, whom the hurricanes came sweeping through their cities, Lord God. And Lord, the people, Lord God, left with nothing. Their homes are gone, Lord God. And Lord God, all their possessions, Lord God, have been washed out. But Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, that they are still here. Lord God, you allowed them to live to see, Lord God, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I pray, Lord God, that you will strengthen families everywhere. Lord God, strengthen them, Lord God, hallelujah, in Florida, in South Carolina, in Georgia. Lord God, every place, Lord God, where they're just going through great turmoil. I know, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that we can lose some things in this life, but Lord God, they can be replaced. And I pray that you would make a way out of no way. Open doors, Lord God, for them, and make a way, Lord God, for them to get the food, clothing, and shelter, Lord God, that they need in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, I pray that you look on the bereaved families, Lord God, some lost loved ones, Lord God, because of the storm. But Lord God, only you can mend the brokenhearted. Only, Lord God, you can lift up their bowed down head. Only you can strengthen them, Lord God, in order to make it through this trial. And Lord God, I just bless your holy name right now. For Lord God, we can lean and depend depend on you when all else fails. And Lord God, I pray that you remember all those who are in attendance on today. Lord God, touch each family represented one by one and name by name in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, as we move forward in your word, Lord God, that you would touch each and every one of us, Lord God. I pray that you would open up our ears that we may hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And Lord God, I pray, Father in heaven, that most of all, Lord God, that somebody would accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord God, let them not leave this session, Lord God, without, Lord God, considering giving their heart to you. And Lord God, not just to consider, but do it, Lord God, because we know, Lord God, hallelujah, that the time is at hand. And Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, let all things be done decently and in order. And Lord God, let your name be praised. Let your name be magnified. And let your name be lifted up, Lord God, above all else. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Just thankful, amen, to be here. Just another day, amen, to lift up and magnify his most holy, precious, and righteous name. Glory to God. There's nobody like Jesus. There's nobody like the Lord. Amen. And we can all attest, amen, to this truth and this fact. Amen, that can nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody, amen, do you like the Lord. Amen, praise the Lord. I greet you in love. I greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen, just so grateful, amen, to come before you. Amen, yet another time and yet another chance, amen, to glorify his holy name. And if there's anybody listening in Florida, in South Carolina, in Virginia, I pray that you are safe and well, amen, from Hurricane Ida. And those who may have lost their possessions, I pray that the Lord will make a way for you, amen, praise God, to be restored in all things. And I praise God that if you are here and listening, that he spared your life, amen, which is the greatest blessing of all, amen. Glory to God. At this time, we're going to move forward in the word of God on today, and today will be found in the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 12 through 14. Again, that's Romans chapter 13, verses 12 through 14. Amen. And I will begin to read the scriptures in your hearing. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. May God bless us through this, the reading of his holy word. And today we're going to speak on the subject, stop wasting your time. Stop wasting your time. One of the most difficult things to grasp when it comes to a God-man relationship is the importance of submitting to God's will. For most people, submitting to his will is a challenge because of their unwillingness to turn away from or let go of fleshly desires. We find in Christendom that there are those who profess the Lord Jesus Christ, yet they continue to make provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The most common battle that people have when it comes to Christ is the battle of the wills. That is to say, the battle between divine will and self-will. But when you make the choice to be a follower of Christ or to be one of his disciples, it dictates that you are to be disciplined in the things of God. You must love what he loves and hate what he hates. It dictates that disciples of Christ are to be in full agreement and in full compliance with his word, willing to obey and yield oneself to the authority or control of the Almighty God. A disciple of Christ must be willing to submit to God's process. And the first step in the process is to forsake the friendship of the world. In the book of James, chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6:24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon," or God and the world. The world's disposition towards God and what he requires is contemptuous, and based on the ever-increasing immorality that we see, it is a testament of the world's disdain for the holiness of God and everything that he stands for. How can we as Christians walk hand in hand with those that hate God? How can we as Christians see eye to eye with the world's distorted views? We were instructed to come out from among them and to be separated, because there is no communion between light and darkness. The Lord would have his people to surrender their will and to submit to his will. We are to submit to the will of his precepts, submit to the will of his providence, and we must be willing to forsake all and follow him. The scripture says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." We are to walk, as the scripture says, in the newness of life. Old thoughts, old principles, and old practices are to pass away. The renewed man acts from new principles, by new rules, with new standards, and in new company. Or else, how could he be fully reconciled to God or be in alignment with divine will? Failure to align with God's plan is the reason why there are so many people on the road to nowhere, chasing dreams and ambitions that has nothing to do with the calling of God that was predestined before the foundation of the world. There are people who aspire to be everything except what God called them to be. But understand, anything that you do outside of the will of God is just a waste of time. So why put all of your time and energy in something that the Lord has not blessed? which will eventually come to nothing. The problem that ministers of the gospel has had to contend with is trying to compel unbelievers that God's way is the right way. Some people are thoroughly convinced that they can make their own destiny and succeed without God. And this trend of thought seems plausible because there are movie stars and music icons that have reached a level of success despite the fact that they do not serve God. And it leads people to believe that they don't necessarily need God's blessings to rise in this world. But allow me to impart a spiritual truth. One of the tricks of the enemy is to convince man that they are inferior if they do not have excessive wealth. His objective is to cause people to desire money more than the desire to follow the gospel of Jesus Christ. In using Hollywood and the music industry as an example, we know that Satan has used these two platforms as stepping stones for fame seekers who want to reach stardom. His method of controlling people who want to live the lifestyle of the rich and famous is to make sure that they achieve it. As mentioned in a previous message, when prosperity is manipulated by the devil, it is for the purpose of making men prideful in spirit and forgetful of God. From this, we understand that prosperity from God is a blessing. As the scripture says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. But when prosperity is manipulated by the devil, it is done so to form a barrier between the individual and God. The Apostle Paul also warned those who desire to be rich of how easy it is to lose their moral compass. 1 Timothy 6:9 reads, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many in that direction and ended up being pulled into the seduction of sin after what they want." But Romans chapter 8 verse 14 declares, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5 verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And just to be clear, in everyone there is a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh represents the corrupt or carnal part of man that resists everything that is spiritual. It is what drives man to lust after things that does not edify the spirit. And in doing so, it will keep you in bondage to sin. And this is the reason why it is important to be filled with the Spirit of God, because without the Spirit of God, the natural man will always yield to the desires of the flesh. As long as we are in the world, the flesh will always strive against the Spirit. But when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, the flesh will not have the preeminence. The Holy Ghost will keep you in remembrance of God's word. He will direct you or lead you into all truth so that you will strive to live according to God's holy standards and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. The Holy Ghost will govern your thought process to keep you from making decisions based on impulse or following your own mind or going in a way that seems right. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 8, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." In verse 9, he says, "Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Why? Because if this condition is not met, then how can he lead you? When we consider the many people who are wandering aimlessly in the earth, like sheep with no shepherd, it is because the Lord is not directing their path. They are wise in their own eyes and end up going down roads that prove to be unprofitable. Those of us who are saved today can likewise admit that pre-regeneration, we also made decisions that led us into a rabbit hole in a manner of speaking in some cases, and it ended for some people in destruction. Some of us found ourselves sinking deeper into sin and caught up in a twisted web of distortion. Sometimes man thinks that he is smarter than God and fail to acknowledge that he is omniscient. He is the all-knowing, all-wise God who knows our beginning and our end, which is why we should never act according to our own conscience. Proverbs 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." In retrospect, if we could all go back in time, we would undo all of our mistakes and bad decisions. We would rewrite the wrongs and not waste time yielding our members to the unfruitful work of darkness. One of the most valuable lessons that we have learned while on this Christian journey is that God holds the key to our future. Therefore, we must submit to the process. As a disciple of Christ, we learned that it is best to agree with the Lord's terms and conditions, that we are no longer our own. We have been bought with a price. He paid the price for our liberty. He paid the price for our sins so that we can be forgiven. He paid the price so that every shackle and every chain could be broken. He paid the price to loose us from the power of Satan so that we would no longer be servants to sin. A songwriter wrote, "Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. We owe it to God to give him our all. And if it means separating ourselves from people, places, or things that hinder our eternal destiny, then so be it." This is the attitude that we should have when you decide to make Jesus your choice. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verses 23, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, daily and follow me. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, 62, no man, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. If you are willing to come after him, it denotes a deliberate choice. Self-denial is also a part of that process. And you must be willing to put aside selfish ambitions and deny yourself by laying aside every sin and every weight. A follower of Jesus Christ is not someone who is insubordinate, disobedient, or rebellious, but someone who is willing to forsake all and follow him. Self-denial is essential because it is one of the steps that must be taken in order to walk in obedience to God's holy will. This message comes to remind us today that we do not have time to waste. And chances are there might be somebody listening who have not surrendered or submitted to God's will, which means you are not walking according to purpose. When the Lord is not a part of your equation, it is easy to convince yourself that the way you are taking is right, or what you are doing is right. But when you are acting of your own will, you will eventually come to know that it was in vain and that only what you do for Christ will last. It is important for you to understand that there is a calling on your life according to God's purpose. It is not based on any works that you have done. It is not based on any good that you have done. But according to his grace, he saved you. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 4 through 7 reads, according as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, being having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So it is with the purpose of God that in due season we should become his adopted children and be partakers of the great plan of salvation. I want you to know today that you were chosen to be a vessel of honor, separated from the world to the glory and praise of God. But it is up to you to know that they are called but will not yield. The Lord has been knocking on the doors of their heart, but they will not let him in. But the clock is ticking. The word of God comes to remind us that the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Jesus is soon to come. It is time to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. People, there is no more time to waste. In conclusion, the Word of God gives us to know in the book of Romans, chapter 13 and verse 1. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Instead of contemplating, debating, or procrastinating, make a step in the right direction. Stop wasting your time trying to achieve greatness according to the world's standards. Stop wasting your time chasing dreams or aspirations that God has not ordained. Stop seeking carnal things and set your sights on the spiritual blessings that the Lord has in store for you. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. For all who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to do it now. There's no need to wait. Do it now. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. The Lord is still calling on you, and he is still knocking on the doors of your heart. So stop leaning to your own understanding. Stop trying to make your own destiny, but embrace the destiny that God has prepared for you in Christ Jesus. Please hear the word today and give God an opportunity to introduce you to the better things. Praise God. You don't have to settle for these meager things that you see in the world. All these things are intangible and one day will be broken. But it's time for you now to embrace God's promises, embrace God's plan, embrace his will for your life. Glory to God. There's some better things that he has in store for you. God's got blessings and treasures with your name on it. All you have to do is say yes to his will, yes to his way. Yes, Lord, I will obey. And guess what? Salvation is yours. Deliverance is yours. Healing is yours. Joy is yours. Hope is yours. Peace is yours. Everything that God has planned for you, hallelujah, amen, can be yours. So stop wasting your time. Amen. Trying to make things happen. Amen. God can make it happen. Hallelujah. All he has to do is speak one word. Hallelujah. And if you say yes, every promise that he made will come to fruition right now at this present time that is called today. Amen. Amen. And amen. Hear the word of the Lord. Amen.